All right, let's go ahead and start. We are we're unpacking to a greater level our Sunday morning series on Potential Unleashed. And so we've called the midweek series Potential Power. This coming Sunday will be our third week in Celebration Worship where we're talking about unleashing your potential. And along the way, by quick review, we have talked about some big concepts and unpacked them a little bit. And we've been focusing in Romans 8. That has been the Great Eight, is what we've called it. And that has kind of been where we're kind of driving through, and then we're adding other things to it. But I share with you the first week that on Sunday morning that when you get to the end of your life, your greatest regret won't be the things you did but wish you had not done. Your greatest regret will be the things you didn't do but wish you had. And I set it up by saying to you that potential is God's gift to you. Making the most of it is your gift back to God. And anything less than doing that will leave you with regret. And we've talked about the fact that if God is for us, and what can be against us, and how that changes everything. That becomes a life changer for each one of us. And so if we can believe that, and we will embrace that, it gives us the freedom to move forward. We talked along the way about some other things on the peripheral of that, but we also talked about the fact that you don't want to get to the end of your life with unused potential. I mean, what a waste that would be, right? Because what are you going to do with it? And so you don't want to be the person that gets buried with so much potential. You know, that's not a compliment. You have so much potential. That's not a compliment. Don't compliment someone that way, unless it's true. And then maybe you can inspire them to kind of start using it. We also talked about the fact that we define ourselves, and I think we did this last Wednesday, we define ourselves by what we've done wrong instead of defining ourselves by what Jesus has done right. But when you move to the cross, when you make the decision to become a believer, when you believe, trust, and follow, it changes how you are defined. We talked about the fact that there is no condemnation in those that know him. And I said last week to you that the key word in that is now. And we kind of dug in on that a little bit. And you have to understand that that means that your forgiveness is in real time right now. So if you're over there and you're out there beating yourself up over what you can't do because of your past or because of what you've done in the past or because of mistakes that you've made, what you're forgetting is the fact that when God views you, he views you through the lens of his Son. And Jesus has done the heavy lifting, so you are clean and free to be something with him that you can't be without him. And again, that taps into, will you unleash the potential that you have? Because again, we use so many excuses for why we can't do so many things instead of embracing the moments that God gives us where we can do what we were created to do. Sunday morning, we talked for a couple minutes and we went into the book of Lamentations. And I said, his mercies never come to an end. They are new each morning. And I answered some email about this week because some of you just never heard it put that way before. And I'd love to tell you that, boy, I just created that and I'm glad I inspired you. But the reality is I just told you what the Hebrew word meant. I didn't create anything for you. I just told you what it meant. And I'm sorry we didn't know that before now. But that promise is that the mercies that he has for us are new as in never before experienced. And so there is a new strain of mercy that is waiting you each and every day, which means that when you start tomorrow, this journey that you have with God, you stand before him, you stand before him clean, you stand before him knowing that he is with you and on your side, that his mercies are new for you this day, and the day is wide open for you to do something amazing with it, make or break it. It is a day that is loaded with potential. And we talked about his mercy and we talked about his grace. I also told you that righteousness isn't just about being right, it's doing something right. And you're not called by God to hold down the fort. You're called to advance the kingdom. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He didn't say he's going to build your church. He said he's going to build his church, and that takes the pressure off you. And you need to know that that actually kind of cuts across all areas of your life. That takes the pressure off you in business. Because it's not your business, it's God's business. It takes the pressure off you if you're a student. Because when you're going to school, it's not your school, it's God's school. It's not your team, it's God's team. And if you're being obedient, then the pressure is off of you. He is fighting your battles for you. You're fighting from victory, not for victory. And so that's kind of where we've been up until this moment, okay? And so we're going to kind of plow forward a little bit further tonight. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8. And we've got a few minutes here. And so I want to jump into Romans chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 5 and build a little bit more on what we talked about last Wednesday for a few minutes. And then see what else we can accomplish, okay? Romans 8, 5 says this, "Those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the thing of the Spirit." Summarizing for you, as far as potential goes, if you're going to live up to your potential, then you have to live a life where your mind is set on the things of the Spirit. And that was kind of the now what, so we're kind of building on that as well. You may know the name of Dr. Wilder Penfield. By the end of his career as a neurosurgeon, he had performed surgery, brain surgery, on 1,132 patients. I don't know why that number is important, but it is. Many of them had suffered from seizures, epileptic seizures, and toward the middle to end of his career, he really spent a lot of his time trying to figure out why. Why? What was causing those seizures? I mean, what was it in the brain that was happening that was causing those seizures to take place? And so he had gotten to the point where, with the help of local anesthesia, he could actually, and it sounds like a horror movie, but he could remove the top of the skull and allow the patients to remain conscious while he performed surgery. Now, some of you, flash back immediately like I do when I hear that story to the Steve Martin movie, The Man with Two Brains, with the screw on top, which was just amazing to me. And that's kind of the idea here, actually. If you actually read Steve Martin's story about that movie. But during one of those open brain surgeries, while the patient is still awake, he made a fascinating discovery. Using an electrode, he put a mild electrical current in a different part of the cerebral cortex, and some of the patients at that moment experienced a flashback, vivid memories from their childhood that they could replay through their mind's eye. One patient recalled sitting at a train station as a child and gave a detailed description of every car that went by as the train passed. Another patient visualized a childhood comb that had been a very valuable comb that had been passed down from generation to generation and was actually able, while the surgery was taking place, to go back and see it so clearly that they could count the number of teeth in the comb because they'd seen it as a child. Now, Dr. Penfield then kind of continued the research and realized that the memories prior to surgery had long been forgotten. And so his conclusion was that every sight, every sound, every experience, every thought, every subconscious dream is recorded on our internal hard drive, the cerebral cortex. Now, last week, remember, I told you a story about a lady who could not forget anything. I mean, everything that she had, she couldn't forget. She could never let anything go. And so we talked about, the tough part of living life, not being able to let loose of any moment and having it constantly replay. And so now I give you the other end of the story that affirms that everything that happens to you stays somewhere in your brain. For most of us, we just don't recall it. And so that means that as we are fearfully and wonderfully made, for every moment that we have, everything that happens is somehow recorded and placed somewhere in our brain. And we stay healthy when we're able to let it go and forget about it and not be able to draw it back. And here's how this complex process works in the simplest preacher form I can make it. You hear a song, you see a picture, you read a verse of scripture, and it's encoded on the surface of your cerebral cortex. The encoding is a memory trace, if you will, that from time to time you might find if you make a decision to walk down memory lane. I mean, that's how you remember things. In my head, it's best to understand it like this. It's almost like we're a living Etch-a-Sketch. And the stuff just gets kind of written on there. And it tends to stick and become part of our recall memory the more that it is retraced and retraced and retraced. And with each repetition, it becomes a part of that long-term memory until it literally is almost engraved on the cerebral cortex in such a way that you can't forget it. Now, this goes back to the story we told last week. This lady's problem was that she could replay everything ad nauseum to the point that she could not let anything go. But on the flip side of it, there are things that we do, and the way our brains work and the way that we're wired is that we are able then by repetition to remember things, to do things, and to make those things a part of who we are and a part of our recall. And it works. And it works amazingly well. And so as we think about that, then the question for us is, when we read a passage of Scripture that tells us to set our mind on things of the Spirit, and I'm telling you that in order to unleash your potential, that is a key to doing that. You've got to learn to set your mind on things of the Spirit. Then one of the things that starts to have happening for us is we've got to constantly be making sure that our minds are zeroing in and engraving our cerebral cortex the things of the Spirit. In other words, putting the things of God into our heads, into our hearts, making sure that we do it over and over and over again so that we can be who we were created to be. Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind in you be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And so one of the ways to start doing this, and I know it's going to sound really churchy, but it's the best I got here, is that one of the ways that we start becoming and start unleashing this potential we have for us is we start having to ingrain ourselves with the things of God. And the best place to start is God's Word. Now, I know a couple weeks ago, some of you were in a class in Cup of Joe on a Sunday morning where we actually were talking about increasing your depth, and we actually talked about Bible study, how to study the Bible, and talked about the importance of that and the way it works. For some of you, this is actually going to be a more material about that, because we're talking about making sure that God's Word becomes a part of who you are, because neurologically speaking, when you start pouring God's Word in, you start making new connections. You reroute old connections, and slowly but surely, your brain starts being renewed and rewired, which is why we come back to the passage of Scripture again that says, you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformation begins taking place when you start thinking differently. Well, how do you start thinking differently? Well, you put your mind on things of the Spirit. You start unleashing your potential. Your mind, you actually start thinking about the world in different ways. And it happens as you start. Think of it this way. Think of it as a mind sink. When you spend time in the Word of God, you are downloading the very words and the very thoughts of God. And you download these often enough, what happens is eventually you kind of upgrade your operating system. And you upgrade your operating system where your mind upgrades and your mind becomes a little bit more like the mind of Christ. I mean, think of it in those terms. That makes sense, right? Sort of. And over time, those upgrades continue because you're constantly downloading the things of God and it becomes a part of who you are. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, sometimes we read things in Scripture like that and we just go, that's just crazy. It doesn't make any sense. But it does make sense. And when you start doing it things like that, if you want to be filled with God's Spirit, if one surefire way of doing that is be filled with God's Word. I mean, think about this. The Holy Spirit of God inspired the original writers of Scripture. So tonight, when you open up your Bibles and you read Scripture, you are inhaling what the Holy Spirit exhaled thousands of years ago. Is that awesome or what? You can do that tonight. You can breathe in the very words of God, the very breath of the Spirit of God. You can inhale that tonight by opening your Word, God's Word. And when you do that, and you do that with repetition, and you spend time studying, not only do you deepen your walk, not only does transformation begin to take place, but what happens is that your heart and your mind begins to change. And it sticks. It sticks. I cannot tell you. I've lost count of the numbers of times where I have been with patients who have been nearing death's door and getting a lot closer to heaven and their heavenly home than they are this home. And to have a family in the hospital tell me, you know, they've kind of lost a lot of things and they don't remember a lot of things anymore. But you know what they remember? They remember songs. They remember praise songs and they remember Scripture. They haven't let go of that. Well, why? Because somewhere during their life, they kept going to God's Word and it became ingrained in their cerebral cortex. I mean, they can't remember what happened last week on the Big Bang Theory. But they remember the things that they learned from their childhood, and they remember the verses that they memorized and they poured into their life time after time after time, and they remember the songs that they sang over and over and over again. And I can't tell you how many times I've been in a hospital room or been at a bedside where the hospice word has been used, and hospice is there, and you've got somebody that's there, and I've stood with families as they've sang old hymns. I've been with families as they've sang worship songs, as we've read Scripture, just reconnecting things for someone that had been faithful enough to make sure it had ingrained in their cerebral cortex to the point that even in their last moments, when nothing else had stuck, this was ingrained so well. And inevitably the question would come, you know, it's funny that people walk out the door going, you know, it's funny, you know, they can remember Scripture. They can't remember anything, but they can remember Scripture. They can't remember my name, but they can remember Scripture. And I'll say the difference is because it was breathed out by the Holy Spirit. And they breathed it in often enough where it stuck. Big deal, right? See, and I'd love to say that it's silly and it doesn't make sense. And sadly, you know, our new information high-tech age, and you can pray for me. I'm working on a series right now called What the Tech? where we're going to talk about how social media impacts your walk with Christ. I have a feeling that some will love it and some are going to hate it, which is why I haven't figured out how to land it yet. But it's called What the Tech? And we're working on that right now. That's kind of one of those things I'm scribbling like a madman in my notebook with and looking at all sorts of stuff and stats till my brain hurts. And it's scary and exciting at the same time. And I haven't figured out how to unpack it yet, but we'll get there. But one of the things that happens for us is, I mean, I know it sounds silly, but, you know, opening God's Word and spending the time and reading it involves a discipline that right now is very elusive in our culture. Because in the fast way that we process information and how we want everything really easy and we want to, you know, we want to have it instantly and we want it, you know, where it's quick and we move on. And in a time when we keep getting all the information we keep pouring into ourselves, you've got to slow down a little bit and allow Scripture to do what Scripture was designed to do. And it's your choice. It's your choice. But we don't slow down a lot anymore. And sometimes we process God's Word just like we process other information, and it just kind of passes on by and we just let it go. You know, we want our promise for the day and then we're done. You know, and we're not able to recall it. We're not able to remember it because we haven't taken the time to try to internalize it. And I shared with you last Sunday, that one of the ways I do it with songs is that, you know, I just play them over and over and over again. You want to memorize verses, promises of Scripture? Play them over and over again. Record them. You know, listen to them. Read them over and over and over and over and over again. I mean, I don't know how well you do at memorizing. I stink at it. Bless you. I stink at it. But I got news for you. I can take things in small bites and I can listen to them long enough where I can remember them. Because our brains really are marvelous and they work that way. And if you hear things often enough, it's amazing what gets engraved in your cerebral cortex, right? I mean, sometimes I close my eyes, I hear the theme from Gilligan's Island. You know? And I still wonder why the professor wasn't smart enough to build a boat to get him off the island. That bothers me. And how they could have been castaways, but they had guest stars every other week. And all that bothered me so bad. But, you know, but I can remember the song. You know, I can remember the song. I don't know how they on a 3-hour tour they got so lost. and all those things bother me so much. But the song sticks. They stick. And I can remember that song. I can remember, you can remember commercial jingles. You know, and they get stuck in your head and you can't get them out of your head and you want to sometimes, you know. And music does it. I mean, you know, songs do it, you know. I used to say this, and I'll say it on Wednesday night. I won't say it anymore outside of Wednesday night because you guys are spiritual. You can handle it. But I was so sick of I Can Only Imagine. Boy, I got so sick of that song. Yeah, I'd hear that thing go, oh, mercy me. Don't play that again. And I'd hear that, and I would just, you know, and I actually made the mistake saying publicly at an event one time that one of the appeals of heaven for me is that I would never have to hear that song again. Because when you get to heaven, you don't have to imagine anymore. And I'm so sick of hearing it. I want to get there so I don't have to hear the song. I'm fed up with that song. And I don't, man, I hear it on radio, I cut it off. I don't even listen to it. You know, and I know it's meaningful to a lot of people, and I got that. And it's not going to be done at my funeral. That's all I'm saying. I ain't going to be done at my funeral because I don't have to imagine. I don't have to worry about it. I'm there. But, you know, you guys are good. You got the Mercy Me Connect, too. That was awesome. But the song gets stuck there. I mean, it just kind of entwines somewhere in your brain, and it just sticks. And so we hold on to stuff. We know we can do it. We're all wired that way. So the question is, why not God's Word? You know, I mean, I got a ton of response back from folks that are really trying to be better at Bible study, and some of those went as far as saying, but one of the things I really want to work hard on this year is memorizing God's Word. Can you help me do that? And yes, I can. You know, let's start with one verse. And when you know that one, we'll go to verse number two. And if it takes a year, you're one ahead than you were last year, right? And so, you know, start with Jesus wept. Nailed it. And then go to the next one. I mean, you can do this, right? This is something that you can do, and it will make all the difference in the world. You set your mind on the things of God. You set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Because in doing so, in spending time in God's Word, you begin inhaling what the Holy Spirit breathed into the hearts and minds of men thousands of years ago. I mean, that's one of the beauties of Scripture to me. There's no other book that you can do that with. There's no other book that's still living like that. And it's living and it's alive and it's fresh and it matters. J.I. Packer once said, every Christian worth his salt should read the Bible from cover to cover every year. I can't argue with that, but I don't do it. I'm sure I cover a lot of it, but boy, there's a lot of holes. You know, I'm sure I'm lied in Numbers and Leviticus somewhere. You know, I'm sure I am. Lamentations even. I mean, yeah, I pulled that out of hat and somebody went, Lamentations, where was that at? I mean, you were flipping Sunday morning like you were fanning yourselves on a hot Sunday morning. You know, it was crazy looking. You guys were taking for that. You know, and some of you going, thank God for the electronic version. Bing, I got it. Lamentations, it's in the Bible. And yeah, I saw you passing that around. But I do study God's Word. I do read God's Word. I spend a lot of time in God's Word. And I desire to make it a pattern in my life. And the goal, my goal is not to get through the Bible. My goal is to get the Bible through me. And if the Bible starts moving through you and starts becoming a part of who you are, then everything changes. It happens one verse, one word, one chapter, one book, one day, every day, over time. And that, for any follower, ought to fall real high on the priority list of the things that you're trying to do in your life. I mean, if someone says, what are your life goals? You know, what are you trying to do from 2016 better than you did in 2015? I mean, I think it's a good answer for any follower to say, I'm trying to be a better student of God's Word and I want to know it more. You want to unleash your potential. You've got to do that. There's no shortcuts to that. As a matter of fact, you can't. You can't set your mind on things of the Spirit if you're not going to be a good student of God's Word. It's not going to happen. If you don't spend time in God's Word, you'll never live up to the potential that you have. And a lot of people never live up to their potential because they never, ever spend the time that they need to in God's Word. And it doesn't become a part of their life. It doesn't get engraved on their cerebral cortex. You don't only have to know it, but you have to be a keeper of the Word, and it needs to be a part of who you are. A verse that is often skipped and missed in Scripture is Deuteronomy 17:19. That too is in the Bible. Deuteronomy 17:19. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and find that. I'll give you 10 minutes. Actually, it's not that hard. While you're getting there, let me give you the background of it. The background of the verse itself is that in the presence of the Levitical priest, the way it was set up is that the kings of Israel, in the presence of the priest, were required to make a copy of the law, God's law, in their own handwriting. Did you know that? If you were going to be a king of Israel, in front of the priest, you would have to make a copy of God's law, and you would have to write it in front of them, in their presence, in your own handwriting. And then you were required to keep that copy that you had handwritten on your person at all times, And as the king, you were required to read it every single day. So if you're going to set your mind on the things of the Spirit, my advice would be act like a king. Make a promise or a vow to get into God's Word every day. The verse, Deuteronomy 17:19, is what this is about. It says, "And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them." Let me read it again. "And it shall be with him, and he shall read it therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them." Right there near the end, it says to keep all the words of this law. Let me drill down a little bit on that word keep just for a minute. Jewish rabbis said that every word of Scripture has 70 faces and 600,000 meanings. That's an overstatement to be sure, but they were basically saying that every word is loaded, okay? I think the word keep that's used here, again, it's a Hebrew word, but the word keep is one of what I would call one of those kaleidoscope words in Scripture. That, you know, the more you look at it, the more amazing it becomes and all the different colors and how big and bright it gets. The word keep means a variety of things, and all of them come into play here. But the word keep means keepsake, as in a treasured possession. The word keep means to guard something, like your life depends on it. The word keep means to keep track of, like a courtroom stenographer would, to keep a record, to keep an account of. Keep means to watch over, like an air traffic controller, and make sure that everything is where it needs to be. It means to preserve, like a taxidermist. It means to examine, like a forensic scientist. It means to cross-examine, like a prosecuting attorney. It means to put in a vault for safekeeping, like a banker might. It means to put a contract on something, like a real estate agent. It means to decipher its secrets, like World War II code talkers used to. So in other words, to keep the Word of God in our hearts, to set our minds on the things of Scripture. The Deuteronomy passage means all those things, and it requires diligence. It requires effort. It requires a willingness to do all those things I just said, to keep all the words of the law and the statutes, as it says in Deuteronomy. In other words, to keep the things of God, to keep the Word of God for us as followers. We get that opportunity, and we need to approach Scripture that way. If it was important enough for the kings to know the law of God so they could flesh it out, and we know history reveals that they didn't do it very well. And when they didn't, it didn't go very well. So in your life, to live up to the potential that you have as a child of the king, keep his word, set your mind on the things of the Spirit, and follow him. And when you do, I mean, the Holy Spirit brings it to memory. I mean, again, as I shared, you know, it is always stunning to hear in those moments, sometimes those last moments of life, the things that we hold on to where God has allowed it to be engraved into our brain, our hearts, and we're able to recall it. Just like Dr. Penfield used an electrode to elicit memories, the Holy Spirit does that in our minds. Because it is living, because it is breathing, and his word is alive, the Holy Spirit then moves in and reveals things. And those things always amaze us. He helps us to recall, but he also reveals things, and we're able to apply it because it comes from a depth of knowing him. And so as you start deepening your walk with God, these things that you memorized, all of a sudden the meaning begins to expand and explode and become bigger and bigger. And again, means so much more than you thought it did when you memorized it as a kid somewhere. As a kid, you know, a few years ago, and some of your kids have gone through it. My kids went through it. We did Bible drill. I was always getting embarrassed when my kids did Bible drill. Because for a while, they would just get so much better at handling God's word than I was. I mean, they would know stuff. They could recall stuff. They were throwing verses left and right, passages of Scripture. What verse comes before it? What verse comes after it? What book before? What book? I'm always like, oh my gosh, gosh, I'm so embarrassed. I'd sit back there just sweating watching our kids, church, year after year, do Bible drill. And I was just like, oh, this is just nerve-wracking, you know. And the thing about it is, all of that, it's amazing, even to this day, sometimes when you're in those moments and you think, you know, of some verse that you remembered as a kid, some verse that was long gone out of your brain somewhere, random verse, and all of a sudden, in just the right moment, God brings it back to you. And there it is. Well, how does that happen? That's the Holy Spirit. Because it was ingrained on your cerebral cortex, and the Holy Spirit's living within you, and He's working within you, and all of a sudden, boom, you needed it. He brings it. There it is. Now, can He bring something that you've never read before? He can if He wants to. He's God. He can do whatever He wants. But I got news for you. He gives us some pretty good instructions about how to get ready and how to live life. But you've had a moment, right? I mean, you've had those moments where you said something that was far wiser than anything you really knew. You ever been talking to somebody and they're asking you for godly wisdom, you're thinking, oh, why are they talking to me? And then all of a sudden, as the conversation takes place, all of a sudden you start, and at some point in the conversation, you're going, my goodness, I actually sound intelligent here. Right? I had somebody tell me this week, we will not believe anymore when you say you're a horrible counselor. You're a great counselor. I said, I have no idea what we've been talking about. But if it was meaningful to you, that's awesome. That God did a great job, because I have no clue what we've been talking about. How long have we been on the phone? How long? I don't remember. So, and hopefully, you know, I don't have to have any more conversations like that. But the when God brings those things back, those God ideas, they come back, and they come back with such power and such authority, and you're just like, man, God, how in the world did that happen? Well, it's God. Psalm 119, we got to be done. Psalm 119, verse 25, says this, quicken me according to your word. Quicken me according to your word. And Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, by the way, if you're a Bible trivia nut. It's a poem with 22 stanzas, and each stanza begins with each one of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Again, Bible trivia, just in case you need to know that. The psalmist refers to the word, or something that refers to the word, 174 times in that one chapter. And a variety of commands show up, but 22 times it says, keep the word, keep the word. In this particular case, in Psalm 119:25, it says, quicken me according to your word. In other words, make my reaction time better according to your word. Make me sharper, make me faster. Do you remember, some of you in the room are old enough to remember this. Do you remember your first digital watch? Anybody in the room remember the first digital watch? And the cool thing about the digital watch is, if it was a cool digital watch, is it had a stopwatch on it. I cannot tell you how many classes in school I just killed the entire class, sitting in the class trying to figure out how fast I could start and stop my digital watch. And see, I'm getting some nods. That's right. Hey, man, let's bring them down here from the balcony. Yes, I'm not the only one. I would sit there. I mean, I could kill a class. I have no idea what was happening in algebra, but, man, I was playing with my stopwatch. It was the greatest. I mean, it was awesome. It was like taking a toy to school. It was so cool. But you would test your reaction time. You know, your thumb, forefinger. You know, which finger was quicker. You know, and if you're a track nut, of course. And I ran track, so I can attest to this. You know, I would always watch. I mean, this is how it matters. Okay, you're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe me when I tell you this. I promise you, this is true. Ask Larry Baker next time he comes. I would watch the starters. I would watch the timers as they listened to the starter. And before I ran, I wanted to make sure I get a moment behind the stand so I could watch the timers. And then I would make a request if they would let me, and sometimes in these hometown track meets, they would let you do this, of who I wanted to time me. Because you can't react with your thumb to the smoke of a starting gun as quick as you can with your first finger. And so if you want an accurate time, you want someone that does this. If you want a faster time, you want someone that does this. Okay? And then you also want to see if they're reacting to the sound of the gun, which takes a long time to travel the 110 meters, or they're going off the smoke of the gun, because the smoke of the gun is when the gun is fired. And it doesn't matter unless you're living in track world and hundreds and tenths matter a lot. But I would wait to see who the best or the worst timers were, and depending on what I was trying to get done, I wanted the best or worst timer. And if I wanted a faster time, I'd get the timer who was clueless. You know, I'd come over and make friends with him. You'll time me, right? I'm running out of lane four tonight in the next heat. You're going to time me? Oh, yeah, I'll time you. Thank you. Thank you so much, because I've been watching you. You're awesome. I'm not lying to you. That's the way it works, right? So, but it is the quick twitch reaction that allows you to be faster. And so if you ever sat in class, you found this to be true. I mean, you could do better like this than like this. And depending on, you know, what kind of watch you had at the time, it's, you know, it was cool and you could play with it. But spiritually speaking, because we do have to finish up, our quick twitch reactions are what help us make the most of our spiritual moments. It's not an accident that Psalm 119:25 says, quicken me according to your word. The more I know God's word, the deeper that it is ingrained in my life, the more that it's written across my cerebral cortex, the better my twitch muscle reactions are going to be in any situation that I'm faced, and the quicker I'm going to react spiritually because of God's word in me. See, you ever know that was in the Bible? Quicken me according to your word. Well, guess what? If your word's not there, you'll be slower in Christmas. And for us, the prompting of the Spirit is so much quicker. And so the challenge for us, if we're going to live up to our potential, and I would leave you with this tonight, is what's your reaction time? I mean, reaction time is the time lapse between God's command and your obedience. How long does it take you? Because the challenge Sunday was to take the steps to live, to follow the Spirit and live the God choices, the God life, and allow the Spirit to walk through you. How long does it take you to get that right? Because the more that you allow God's Word to become a part of you, the more that you're following, the deeper that you're becoming, the quicker your reactions are. You're quickened according to His Word, and the quicker you get there, and the quicker your potential begins to become a part of your very existence. That's all I got tonight. But again, it builds on what we were talking about on Sunday. It unleashes the power that's within us to be who we were created to be. Let's pray. We'll pick up again Sunday morning with our next celebration worship service. God, we are good on no day, but you are great every day. And Heavenly Father, our lives are so often caught up in the circumstances that surround us, and we're thrown back and forth. And Lord, I pray that tonight we would just at least remember the importance of making sure that we set our mind on the things of the Spirit, and that you would begin a work within us where you would quicken us according to your word, that you would help us as we begin to understand that we are to be keepers of the word. And as we do that, we begin to discover a potential within us that we never knew was there. As I said the very first week, I'm betting on each person in this room, because God, it is within us to be everything that we were created to be, if we're willing. Make us willing, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.